Welcome to The Good Goddess Show, a weekly podcast for women who are fed up, are feeling bloated and tired. I'm your host, Kezia Hall, holistic nutritionist and all-around health geek. Let's dive in to the show. Welcome to another episode of The Gut Goddess Show. And this week we are talking about sleep. We are going to be looking at how to improve the quality of your sleep, what to do with sleep problems, how much sleep should you be getting, all of that good stuff is part of my When You're Tired of Being Tired podcast series. So this is going to be fun. If you haven't listened to the previous two episodes where I looked at why you might be so tired, and then last week I looked at food and kind of supplements to help with kind of energy boosting and really supporting your energy, check out the previous episodes. Before we dive in though, I've got some exciting things to announce. Hello, call to order. Number one is, this month in July, I am running a free masterclass workshop, and it is the thyroid masterclass. So in the previous two episodes, we've talked a lot about the thyroid health, and I talk a lot about thyroid health in general because it affects me, affects my family, and I have tons of clients with thyroid issues. So if you suspect that you might have a thyroid issue, you're not too sure, you want to find out a bit more info, or maybe you know for sure that you do, maybe you're already on thyroxine for it, whatever it is, if you want to know more about thyroid and how to get your energy back, whether you suspect you have a thyroid issue or maybe you know you have a thyroid issue, but you still feel like you're just knackered all the time and you can't seem to lose weight and you just kind of feel like, you're wading through life. Monday, the 15th of July, I'm going to be doing a 60-minute thyroid masterclass. It is going to be quick, full of practical, useful, actionable information where you can ask your questions. We'll be looking at testings. We'll be looking at what to eat. We'll be looking at what you can do. What are some natural approaches and natural kind of remedies to support your thyroid and all of that good stuff. So if you want to join, head over to supernaturallyhealthy.org/WP/thyroid. Or you can just head over to supernaturallyhealthy.org and I'll put a little like pop-up thing where you can just click on that or click on the menu above. So it'd be awesome to have you there. Also, if you haven't left a review yet, that would be great if you could go and do that. I don't think we've had a review since May and we're now in July, and I know lots of you love the show. I know lots of you tell me how much you love it. It's really easy just to go into the podcast app, search for The Gut Goddess Show, click ratings and reviews, and then you'll see an option to write a review. I would really appreciate it. I read all the reviews and it's just a really nice and kind way of saying thanks and meaning that more people can find out about this podcast. And the more people that know about this podcast, the more people that can get the information, implement it, and heal their bodies, feel better, and just get on with living their awesome lives. So if you haven't left a review, I would love it and I might read it out on the show. Otherwise, let's get on and talk about sleep. So we are talking about sleep today. It's really, really important as part of the When You're Tired of Being Tired series that we look at sleep. So I, in the previous kind of episodes, have looked at why you might be tired. We've looked at foods that could be making you tired, all of these kind of different foundational stuff. But I want to give a whole episode today about sleep because it's really important. And I want to share some things with you that you probably know and some things with you that you maybe don't know and bust a couple of myths. So the main basic we're going to be looking at when it comes to sleep today is looking at quality of sleep. How do you improve the quality of your sleep? And what about quantity? How much do we need to be sleeping? And then I'm also going to share a little bit about, you know, what if you're just at a stage of life where you're just sleep deprived or have trouble with your sleep, or that, you know, sleeping is just a real struggle for you. So let's get on with it. Let's talk first about quality of sleep. So often when we think about sleep, the first thing that we go to is quantity, how many hours. And I don't know if you've ever, there's any parents out there. I recently had a child, so he's 9 months. And in those like first couple of months, like every morning, I was being like, how much sleep did I get last night? You know, mentally kind of calculating hours. Oh, I got an hour between 12 and 1, and then 2 hours between 3 and 5, and then half an hour before 8. And you can mentally tally up all the hours of sleep. But what I want to talk about first is quality of sleep, because that's something that we don't talk about as much. So like many things in life, like the food you buy, like, you know, the pair of shoes that you buy, quality really, really matters when it comes to sleep. So this isn't about just clocking in your 8 hours to tick a box. This is about really optimizing and making sure the sleep you are getting is really good quality, that when you do go into those deep REM cycles, that they are deep and healthy and last the appropriate amount of time, that you are having the appropriate amount of sleep cycles, that you are actually really having a good quality of sleep. Now, just in case, you know, before we even dive into that a little bit more, just in case you are not aware, that sleep is really important. You know, often we can think, well, I can sometimes think that sleeping is just more of an annoying than actually a benefit. But so many amazing things happen when we sleep. It's when we give our digestion a rest so that our body can get on with doing other stuff. It's when we can heal and repair like our skin and things going on in our bodies. It's when our body kind of gives our brain like this weird wash in the night. I mean, that's not the technical term for it, but it's really, really important. It also helps with our insulin secretion. So if you have a lot of belly fat, metabolic issues, actually, or just wanting to lose weight, you really need to make sure you're getting good quality of sleep and quantity. It really helps with healthy cell division. It helps with athletic performance. It can help support your hormones, your sex hormones, like testosterone levels. It helps with the process of aging. It's really important for your brain in terms of your kind of mental benefits and cognition. It's got tons and tons of benefits. If you want to feel good, have good mental health, be at a healthy weight, perform well, have your brain sort of alert and working and on fire, we need to sleep. So just in case you're not convinced of how important sleep is, I just thought I'd give you a bit of a reminder. But in terms of quality of sleep is really, really important, because as you've heard, all these really essential things happen when we sleep. So what are some of the simple things that you can do to improve your quality of sleep? So maybe this is a great tip as well. Maybe you're at the stage of life where you don't have, you are a bit sleep deprived. Maybe you have young kids. Maybe you have a partner who snores. I don't know. Maybe you are getting more disturbed sleep. Well, the great thing is you might not be getting enough hours of sleep, but you can ensure as much as you can that you are getting better quality sleep, so that even if you're like, Kezia, I have young kids running around, there's no way I'm getting 8 hours straight in the night. That's fine. You might have a 3-hour chunk. And what we could do is really make sure that that quality of sleep in those 3 hours is kick ass. So this is a great way to approach, instead of beating yourself up of like, oh, I don't get enough sleep. Oh, I'm so bad. Oh, my kid doesn't sleep. Oh, they're not in a routine. Oh, I can't sleep. Whatever it is. You know, it might not be kids. It might be the menopause and those hormonal shifts. It might be stress. You might just have insomnia. I've worked with lots of clients with sleep issues and it isn't fun, but we can focus on the quality of sleep. So what are some of the things that we can do? You can do that as simple that you can do like this week to improve them. Okay, number one is your bedroom needs to be like a dark cave where when you turn the light off and you shut the curtains, you cannot see a thing. This is the ideal kind of environment that you want it to be. So you want blackout blinds, and on top of that, you want blackout curtains. I have blackout curtains, and I actually been meaning for ages to nail them to the wall so I don't even have those creases at the side. You want completely black. No little standby lights on a TV. Mm-mm. You want those covered up with duct tape. You don't want your phone there. You don't want a digital alarm clock with like that light. No. Just go with old school alarm clock. You don't want any light coming in. You want your room to be as dark as humanly possible, to the point as when you get up in the night, you want to be able to like not see anything because it's that dark. And that really helps to improve your quality of sleep. The reason being is light sends messages. So all throughout the day, when we are getting messages through our eyeballs. So as the day goes on, so sunrise to sunset, the kind of quality of light changes, which you would notice. You know, you can, by the evening, you might have that warm sunset light, and in the morning, it might be a little bit fresher. The quality of light changes, and one of the many reasons for that is that this gives messages to our brains about certain hormones to produce. So we get a slightly more kind of, I think, as far as I'm aware, blue light in the morning and kind of warmer light as the evening goes on. And light is basically messages. Anything that is going through your eyeballs, any light that is going through, is giving your brain messages to do certain things. So if you are going to bed and you've got the curtains wide open, you've got a digital alarm clock flashing at the side, and you're going to bed when it's still light, especially this summertime, and you've got light creeping through. It might be street lights. It might just be because we're in the summer. It might be you sleep with the light on. Whatever it is, then you are giving your body a whole lot of confusing messages because you're trying to get your body to sleep, but then it's getting this blaring light through. And actually, our bodies tend to respond to darkness is the time to sleep. So if you are struggling with sleep or you just want to improve the quality of your sleep, I have noticed a huge difference with this. So I have a big thick blackout curtains. Again, I still get some light through, so I need to nail and tweak those, which I've been meaning to do literally for about 6 months. But I also sleep with an eye mask always. And I've probably only been doing that for like the last couple of years. And I notice a really big difference. I just wake up feeling like I've had a deeper and a better sleep. So that has really, really improved my quality of sleep. So number one, get the room dark. Because we often do it for children, you know. When you have a baby, a lot of people will like completely black out the room so that their baby naps. We did that for Merlin. But we need it as well. Light, otherwise we're trying to get to sleep when we're getting mixed messages. You know, you've got one half of you that's like, time for sleep. And the other half of you is like, oh, I'm getting all these like messages through the light that it's time to be awake, time to do stuff. So number one, darkness. Number two, in light of that, is screens. So as well as natural light flooding through your window, you also don't want the synthetic artificial light. So again, your digital alarm clock, your phone, that little, like even the tiniest of light, the standby light on your TV in your room, sleep lamp, whatever it is, you want none of that. What I have in my room, and I did this especially for the first few months of having a new baby when we're up and down a lot, is I actually bought a red bulb and put that in my bed lamp. So in the evenings, in the night when Millen would wake up, I would put on this red lamp so that I wasn't getting that artificial, harsh kind of blue light that would come through a normal lamp. I was getting that low hum of like a red lamp, like you would get in an old school photography lab. So you really want to ban, all kind of screens, artificial lighting, all of that sort of stuff from your room as humanly possible. Now, you don't need to be perfect at this, because with all transparency, I was lying in bed last night while I was pumping milk, reading my Kindle, and I'm pretty sure my Kindle has a blue light behind it, which is really irritating, and I need to change that. But make as many improvements as you can, because this makes a huge difference. Also, if you can avoid looking at screens in general, be it TV screens, tablet screens, iPhone screens, probably Kindle screens, that would probably still count, for at least like an hour, ideally 2 hours before you go to bed, this really supports your circadian rhythm. Your circadian rhythm is the rhythm, a kind of rhythm of hormones that your body releases throughout the day. So in the morning, you should get a nice spike of cortisol, and that's kind of almost like your natural alarm clock. And then that will lessen as the day goes on. But as the day goes on, you should be increasing in melatonin, which is, a lot of people know, that kind of nice sleeping hormone that encourages us to sleep. So we want to support our circadian rhythm by not exposing ourselves to lots of the blue light that is contained in our screens in the evening. So a great way of doing this as well, because I mean, I like to watch Netflix at night, I'm not going to lie. So I also use a lot of the Mac products have, the updates have these, I think it's like nighttime mode. So your phone has it, nighttime mode. I've also installed something called Flux into my laptop so that at about 7 o'clock, it filters out all the blue light from my screen. So everything just becomes like this orangey tinge. It's slightly annoying if you're watching a film because everything looks a little bit orange, but it really, really helps to remove the blue light. So I have that on my laptop and I have it on my phone. And you can also get blue light filtering glasses as well, which are really helpful, which I'll link to in the show notes. So you really want to reduce, especially if you're struggling to get to sleep, you want to reduce your exposure to blue light from screens, TVs, phones. And you can do this by filtering it out and using technologies and apps that do that, which is great. You can do that by wearing blue glasses and also just avoiding watching so many screens. Just avoid screens for a little while. That makes a huge difference to your quality of sleep, also your ability to get to sleep. It's just a really, really big thing because we are now exposed to so much blue light, false, artificial kind of junk lighting. It can be a bit confusing to our brain, and some people are more sensitive to it than others. So beware of artificial light. That's number two. Number three is temperature. You actually want to obviously be warm in bed, but you don't want your bedroom to be like roasting. You actually sleep better in a cooler room with adequate kind of coverings and blankets. So you don't want to be sleeping really and getting just really, really hot. You want to be warm enough, but not too hot in order to promote good quality sleep. You also need to make sure you have warm feet in order to get sleep. That's a fact I learned the other day. Eating, number four. You want to be giving your body a minimum of 2 hours after a meal before you go to sleep, ideally three. So I try to give it at least three. So I'll finish eating about 7, half 7, and I would go to bed at like 10, 11. This is because if you eat a meal at 9 o'clock and then you're in bed at 10 o'clock, your body is still digesting that meal. So digestion can go on for hours, like 2 to 3 hours. If you're going to bed and trying to sleep, your body is still digesting instead of getting on with all the other stuff. And it can often just impact the quality of sleep that you get. So if you're really wanting to improve the quality of your sleep, you really want to have a break before you go to sleep with your meal. You don't want to eat a big meal and then go straight to sleep. That's not optimum. You might do that, like, you know, you don't need to be perfect about this, but you do, you know, even a couple of nights of the week, really making sure that you are giving your body a break, because digestion is actually a really energy draining process in the body. I know we don't think of it that way, but it takes up a lot of our body's energy to digest food properly. There's a lot of stuff going on. If you think your body is basically getting an apple into these tiny molecules absorbed into the bloodstream, that is quite a lot of work to do. And so at night, it really needs a good break from that so that it can focus on other things. So that's another really important thing. And the kind of fifth thing to mention in terms of quality of sleep is you can start to track your sleep, and that can sometimes be helpful in terms of knowing what impacts it or not. So for some people, certain foods impacts their sleep. It might be, and with tracking, it's again, it's not always about the hours. It's also about how you feel. So if you've woken up feeling great and you're tracking your sleep and the different things you're eating and doing, then that can be helpful. And you can track it with like really basic things like Fitbit, which aren't the most accurate, but they're a great place to start. Or you can get more in-depth sleep monitors, like things like the Aura Ring and all of that sort of good stuff. So tracking is really helpful. I'm saving up to buy an Aura Ring so I can track my sleep properly. Okay, so that's a little bit about quality of sleep. So let's talk quantity, because most of us have been told that we need 8 hours. And I was listening to a couple of podcasts recently with a circadian rhythm expert and kind of a sleep expert and researcher. And he said that the research around that wasn't actually that clear, this kind of picking of arbitrary of 8 hours. So let's talk a little bit about quantity. From my perspective, and I'm not a sleep rich researcher, I'm not a circadian rhythm expert. From my perspective, I think the amount and quantity of sleep is really personal and individualized. So if someone is quite sick, then they're probably going to need more sleep. If you've got autoimmune conditions going on, you've got a lot of stuff happening in your health, you're probably going to need more sleep. But I think 8 hours of sleep, I don't think everyone needs to get 8 hours of sleep in order to feel good. I think you need to figure out what works for you. And there was one research that showed that actually it was 6.5 hours of sleep that was most optimal. It was a bit of research done over something like 20 years, over like 1 million people. I'll link to the paper in my, I found it on the Bulletproof website, but it was over like 1.1 million people. And it showed that their patterns over 6 years, that on average about six people needed and did best on about 6.5 hours sleep night, 6.5 hours of sleep a night. And when it comes to quantity, it really is about experimenting. So after I had Merlin, as soon as he started to sleep through, I just started to sleep as much as I possibly could, because there was such a big sleep deficit. Then I started to not feel that great. And I actually realized I probably needed to reduce. I was probably sleeping too much. I was sleeping like 11 hours. And actually, I don't think that was making me feel great. So now I've reduced to about, I would say I probably get anywhere between 6.5 to 7 hours, 7.5 hours sleep. And I think I actually do feel better having less sleep than what I did with having 11 hours. Once I'd kind of caught up of my sleep deficit, which with having a new baby, you do have a sleep deficit sometimes for a few months, sometimes for a few years. It really depends on your baby. We lucked out on the baby sleep lottery. We really did. But that's not the case for everyone. So when it comes to quantity, I would say this is really about tracking and figuring out what makes you feel good. In general, I would say you actually want to focus more on quality of sleep more than quantity. And if you are someone who is struggling with autoimmune conditions, just had a baby, you're really stressed out, you probably need more sleep. But if you're relatively healthy and active and eating well, then you might be able to try, okay, let's see, 7 hours sleep, how do I feel? And really experiment with that. But if you are tired, like, so this series is, if you're tired of being tired, chances are if you're tired, you might need more sleep, and you might need more sleep and better quality sleep. You probably need a little bit of both. So if you are feeling tired, I wouldn't necessarily think the answer would be right now is to cut back on sleep. I would say you want to experiment, add in more sleep, try to sleep a little bit more and see how that feels. So again, this isn't that helpful, but well, it is helpful in that it is personal. So I would say anywhere between 6.5 to 9 hours of sleep a night, I'd say that's a decent range to aim for. And then you just need to figure out either through tracking or just experimentation, which of those works for you right now in the season that you're in. If you are really stressed out, working a lot, training a lot, training for a marathon, you might need more like 8 or 9 hours sleep. If you are not as stressed out and things are going okay, you might need more like 6.5. So figure out what works for you when it comes to quantity of sleep. Okay, so what about if you're sleep deprived? Maybe you really struggle with sleep, you struggle with getting to sleep. Maybe you struggle with, you get sleep fine, but you wake up and feel, can't get back to sleep. Maybe you have just had a little baby or are caring for somebody else that requires you getting up at night. I'm going to go through a couple of different scenarios when it comes to sleep and give you my response and opinion to it. So I hear this a lot. Oh, Kezia, I get to sleep fine. Going to sleep's not a problem, but I always wake up sometime around 2, 3, 4, 5, and I cannot get back to sleep. I'm just wide awake. So if that's you, if you can get to sleep okay, but you're always waking up in the middle of the night and not able to go back to sleep, you maybe wake up to go for a pee and then you just can't, you're wide awake, then this could be down to your adrenals. And so really listening to my episode about the adrenal fatigue recovery plan would be really helpful. Often, some people could be getting a surge of cortisol, like this waking up hormone in the middle of the night, which could be waking you up. So I would say that. Go and listen to the adrenal fatigue recovery episode. I'll put that in the show notes. Okay, another question I get is, well, I say I'm a new mom, or I'm just at a point in life where I'm super sleep deprived because I'm caring for someone else. Maybe it's a new puppy, maybe it's a new child, maybe it's a other family loved one that requires you getting up at night. What do I do then? Okay, number one is really try not to stress about it. I know as being a recent mum, I did get to the point where I was stressing out about my sleep and desperately counting how many hours did I have? Oh my goodness, this isn't good for my insulin sensitivity and my cognition. Like sometimes the information I know isn't that helpful. Sometimes I know too much information. And I just had to chill out about it and recognize that it was a season and that I could do, and what were the things that I could do? So I had a tiny baby who, he was waking up in the night because that's what was healthy and natural for him to do, to wake up so I could feed him. So what were the things I could do? What could I change? So I made sure that I was getting naps in the day, every day. Those first, I don't know, months, whenever I had anyone else around to help me, I would go for a nap. I would go for at least an hour, often 2 hour nap in the day. So that was the first thing. I also made sure I was eating really well. And with if you are up a lot in the night, then you probably are going to be hungry. So I would probably eat, even though I've told you to not eat to improve the quality of your sleep. But say you're a new mom, especially if you're a new mom, if you're waking up 2, 3, 4 times in the night, you will be hungry probably at 3 a.m., especially if you're breastfeeding. That's okay. Have a snack and go back to bed. So just that's a slightly different kind of context. But really just recognize that it's a season. And again, go back to this quality of sleep. So maybe you are a new mom. You want to make sure your room is pitch black for you and your baby. You want to make sure that you've not got any standby lights. You want to make sure you're sleeping with an eye mask on. You want to make sure that you aren't exposing yourself to tons of screens or that you've got filters or blue light glasses. Do all of these things to improve the quality of sleep so that even if you can't improve the amount of sleep you're getting, you can make sure the sleep you are having is decent quality or improved quality. So that would be the first thing. The other question I get a lot is people who just slightly insomnia, just can't get to sleep. If they do go to sleep, they wake up. Like I had a client last year who's coming to me. By the time she came to me, she was getting like 1 hour sleep, 2 hours sleep, and obviously feeling grim for it. So when it comes to insomnia, again, like with a lot of things, you've got to look at why. Why are you so tired? Why can't you go to sleep? And often this has to do with your circadian rhythm. It has to do with your kind of certain hormones being released. It has to do sometimes with things like histamine and your gut health and your cortisol levels and melatonin levels and your blood sugar balance all play a really, really important role. But it really is figuring out why. So say, for example, your gut health is rubbish. You might be like, yes, what has that got to do with my sleep? Well, in your gut, you make the majority of your serotonin. Serotonin gets converted into melatonin. So if your gut isn't that happy, it's not making good amounts of serotonin, then you're not going to be able to make good and healthy amounts of melatonin, which is going to be the one thing that helps you to know it's time to go to sleep. So things like your gut health, really important. Again, things like your blood sugar management, so your insulin management is really important, especially if you're struggling to get sleep or you're waking up in the night. Really making sure that throughout the day you're eating foods, lots of fats, lots of proteins, lots of fibers that help to balance out your blood sugar is really, really important. So those are the things, those are the scenarios I hear a lot of: people who just can't get to sleep, people who can maybe get to sleep but wake up in the middle of the night and can't get back to sleep, and then people who are genuinely just at a season in life when they're sleep deprived. With all of those things, there is still things you can do. The main thing is just not to stress about it, is to take naps when you can. Naps aren't always... I recommend naps, but some of the sleep experts aren't that big a fan of naps because, again, you're trying to tell your body to go to sleep when it's bright light outside. So it can sometimes not always mean the quality is that great. But if you are quite severely sleep deprived, then I think napping is a good idea. It doesn't make up, I mean, it's would be much better to get the sleep. So you can't necessarily say, oh, I'm just not going to sleep much because I'll have a nap tomorrow. It's always best to get sleep at night. But if that's not an option, get sleep in the day for sure. And then what about night shift people? So years ago when I used to work at a hospital and do different care work, I used to do night shifts and not the most fun I've ever had, but I've had a couple of years of doing night shifts. So what can you do when you run night shifts to improve your quality of sleep? Well, there is a couple of things you can do. First of all, it's worth thinking if you are in a job where you do long-term night shifts, you really actually need to pay a lot more attention to your health and sleep quality, because research shows that people who do run work night shifts do have increased risks of various health outcomes. So it is important if you do a job, nurse, doctor, policeman, fireman, whatever, where you do regular night shifts, that you just really are a little bit more on it when it comes to your health, especially if you're doing it, you've been doing it for 10, 15, 20 years, because it does have an impact on the quality of sleep. But if you are doing night shifts, a lot of these things still apply. You want a pitch black room, even more so, because you're trying to get to sleep in the day. You want it to be pitch black. You want the temperature to be okay. You really, really want to invest in getting as dark a room as humanly possible. And I would get super kind of anal about it. I would, if it was me and I was doing night shifts regularly, I would want my room to have not a like smattering of light in there. So that would be the main thing to focus on if you do night shifts. And then you really want to make sure, again, you're just trying as much as you can to get that kind of quantity and quality of sleep. So So I hope that has been helpful when it comes to sleep. Sleep is really, really important for you. These things also relate to your kids as well. If you have kids that don't sleep well, you can implement these things in terms of quality of sleep. Obviously, quantity. Kids and teenagers need a lot more sleep than adults. So when I'm talking about quantity, I was talking to adults specifically. You know, babies, Millen at the moment has 12. He sleeps like for 15 hours a day or something. You know, teenagers actually need a lot of sleep. Children need a lot of sleep. But they also need quality of sleep as well. So making sure your kids' room are dark, that if they do have these night lights, they are a red night light. None of these blue lights going on. That's not going to be doing them any good. Making sure they're not too hot, not too cold. Making sure they're not sitting in their bed with their iPad before going to sleep. You know, all of these things to really improve their quality of sleep is really, really important. So I hope that has been helpful. If you have any questions, then do let me know. I'll put links to all the various resources in the show notes. Otherwise, come and join me in the Thyroid Masterclass on the 15th of July. That'll be super fun. I'm going to be going deep about testings, where to get them done, what to do, what your thyroid is. It's going to be really, really good. And it's going to be really, really good. I'm selling it to you guys. And otherwise, be in touch. Message me over at Instagram or Facebook, which is all at the handle is at Supernaturally Healthy. Otherwise, I will see you next week for another episode of the Gut Goddess Show. Bye.